Can I tell you about the week I had? Last Sunday, starting last Sunday, it was a beautiful moment where I taught this really impactful message and everybody was saved. And then we invited all these people to my house, everybody that was here, and I think 30 of you showed up. So that means that it was lacking a few of you. But we had a great time connecting with you guys. We had a great time getting to know you guys. I got to give props to some certain people. They were I think it was like their first or second week here, and they came here by themselves, and they showed up to my house by themselves, and that's huge. That's risky. You guys know that? That's super risky, and I applaud that risk. I applaud taking that adventure and just being a part of community, whether you might feel comfortable or not. So it's incredible. So then I'm celebrating the day. People didn't leave our house till like 5 o'clock, which was nuts because I was tired, but I was polite, and we just kept talking. It was good. It was a good time. And then I get an email. And in this email, it said, "Hey, I don't know if you're aware, but..." And then this email goes on to just tearing me apart. Just kidding. This email goes in to say, "The last 3 times you've taught in John, you've referenced John and John the disciple, the one whom Jesus loves, and John the Baptist, who was the herald of Jesus, who came before Jesus to tell the world about Jesus as one person. And I don't know if you meant to do that or not." And so my pride instantly is wounded. Anybody else have pride? Okay, you know what that feels like when it gets just kicked right in the boys. That's what happened to me Sunday. My pride is wounded, but it was a great correction. And so I get on Facebook, for those of you that are on our Facebook page, and I post a retraction saying that no, these Johns are actually 2 separate people and that I've been teaching heresy. But the beauty of that is I start to decompress with this person who brought this to my attention, and this person said, "There's other people that have come to me about this situation." And so when I hear that, my first go-to is bristling. Oh, there's other people, huh? So you got a little gang against me, huh? And so we're sitting and we're talking about this, and I was just, you know, bristling, and he knew that it would make me bristle. He knew that it would be upsetting to me in that regard. And he said, as I'm sitting there, "Well, why don't people just come and talk to me about this? I feel like I'm a very approachable person. I could be way off. I might have a terrible self-assessment. But I feel like I've never been above, you know, being approached about something, anything." And so I thought, well, why aren't they even just yelling it out from the audience? "Hey, stupid. That's 2 different Johns." And I blended them together in my mind. And I was really upset. And this gentleman said, you don't do that with other people. When other people fail you somehow or fail to live to Jesus' standards, I hear from you more than not about that issue, but you rarely go to these people." Here's another kick to the pride. And it was this beautiful teaching moment on many levels. What I love about Whitewater is we've always been just who we are. We can't be anybody else. We try not to pretend. We try not to act like we have it together where we don't. And that's very evident, that's very seen. And so you caught a glimpse of it last week, even with the music, you know. And then I teach heresy right after that. And then I'm upset about it, and all these multi-levels that God's working on within my heart of how this came about. And I find that incredibly beautiful, and I find that incredibly challenging. Now, what I want to say to you is I seriously mean, if there's anything going on that doesn't jive, then you know, that doesn't jive with Scripture, come talk to me. Please. Even if you're like, I don't think he meant to say that, come talk to me. Right after the teaching, so we can clear it up. So 3 weeks don't go by and I'm still blending two Johns together in my mind. Okay? Is that a deal? Or if it's so evident and you're sitting in the audience and you know the correct answer and you're like, Adam, you're really botching this, man, please shout it out. Most pastors would be uncomfortable with something like this. I'm telling you, I'm not. I might fight you afterwards. No. But I think it's beautiful, this community that we have and this openness that we have, and I want to continue to foster that in every area, not just in certain little portions of our lives, but in every area of our life. Deal? With that said, John is one person. We'll go week four. No, there is a separation between John the Baptist and John the disciple, whom Jesus loves. He continues to refer to himself as that, and even in this chapter, the last chapter of John, chapter 21, we're going to hear more from him. Deal? I'm glad you all came back after a terrible, terrible falsehood was teached. So that said, where were the disciples when we last left them? Behind closed doors. Behind locked doors. Jesus came to them the first time, and then Jesus came to them again 8 weeks later, or 8 weeks, another heresy, 8 days later. And then they were behind locked doors, and now all of a sudden they're out preaching and teaching and loving people into the kingdom. That's not what happened. The disciples are sitting around, and I think at this point they're bored of sitting in a locked home behind a locked door. So they said, you know what? Let's go fishing. Peter says. The other disciples are there, and they said, hey, we'll join you. We want to go. So they go out fishing. They go out fishing, and they are catching absolutely nothing. And daybreak hits, and all of a sudden, Jesus is on the shore. Not only is Jesus on the shore, but Jesus is there making breakfast. My kind of dude. I eat three meals a day. Those that have hung out with me for any length of time know that I get very edgy if I don't get those. So Jesus is my dude. He likes breakfast. He's there making fish on a fire. So Jesus is making breakfast, and these disciples are out fishing. And all of a sudden, Jesus calls out to them, hey, you caught anything yet? And the disciples look, and who's that? So then John, it says, the one whom Jesus loves. He can't even go fishing without throwing that in there. You know, John, the one that Jesus really loves. John sees him and he says, that's our Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, Peter, we talked about Peter. Any other stories about Peter you remember? He's usually the first to respond and the first to get smacked down by Jesus. Which John? Just kidding. Okay, all right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Peter's also the one who chopped the ear off of the servant. Remember that? In the garden? We've been going through the series. When I say remember that, I'm assuming you've all just been here the whole time. For those of you that are new, You don't remember that, okay? I apologize. We'll try to explain this stuff as we go along. But Peter usually talks first when Jesus and his disciples were together and Jesus is trying to wash their feet and teach a lesson. Peter says, "You ain't washing my feet." Peter's usually the first to speak, first to get smacked down to the disciples. I'm sure they loved it because they're like, "I'm going to go after whatever he says because it's not going to look as stupid." So Peter, being the awesome first to speak, first to get smacked down, they're all in a boat together. And Jesus, after they say, it's Jesus, Jesus then tells them, "You need to cast your net on the other side of the boat." And all of a sudden they pull up a ton of fish. Peter recognizes it's Jesus because of John, the one whom Jesus loves, said, "Hey, that's Jesus." So Peter, apparently, I need to ask you fishermen, when you go out with your buddies fishing, do you fish naked together? Thank you. Anybody else? For whatever reason, Peter is naked in the boat. I don't understand it. And I'm sure the other disciples were like, "Come on, man. Can't you wear something?" So in Scripture, it says Peter's naked. And then all of a sudden, he grabs clothes to go swimming in because he jumps out of the boat once he realizes it's Jesus. The belief is maybe he put on a loincloth. I can't believe he'd put on some heavy cloak that we just drowned. So Peter throws on his undies and jumps in the river, jumps in the water and swims to shore. And the other disciples are just left rowing. And they all make it to shore and they see that Jesus has this beautiful breakfast. And they pull in 37 fish. They pull in all these fish. 153. I was way off. 155. They pull in 153 fish, and Jesus says, "Hey, why don't you bring some of those?" And all the while, the disciples are still kind of like, "I don't know if that's Jesus." But no one dared ask him once they got to shore. So Jesus finishes breakfast. They eat together. And then he and Peter, the first to speak, have this beautiful conversation. And if you remember just weeks prior, when Jesus was taken from the garden and Jesus was on his kind of pre-trial trial, Jesus prophesied, told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." And Peter, being the beautiful speak first kind of man, "No, I ain't doing that." And what happens by the end of that evening is Peter denies Jesus three times. "Don't you know Jesus?" "No, I don't." "Hey, aren't you one of Jesus's?" "No, I'm not." "Are you sure?" "I think I've seen you with..." "No, I'm not. Leave me be." So this is the first real conversation, real interaction that Jesus has with Peter since that moment, since that denial, since that night that Jesus was taken. Since the conversation that they had, "You're going to deny me three times." And that's where we're going to pick up in the Scripture. We're in John 21, and we're going to pick up in verse 15. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles out on the table. Now, I got to clear some stuff up. I was asked by Alan this morning, "What are these books for on this table? Can people take those?" Yes. People bring books. People bring books that they've read and books that they think can benefit others, and they will put those on the table out there by the Bibles that are also available for free for you to just take. We want you to be well-read. We want you to be in the Word and in other writings that of people that live with Jesus. All right? So those are out there for you to take. If you need a Bible, please take one. If you want to download a Bible, please, YouVersion is an awesome Bible. And you can just follow along on your phone, you can follow along on your iPad, or whatever device you have. But it says this in the 21st chapter of John, verse 15. It said, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" And it doesn't really explain what "these" is. whether he's talking about the disciples, whether he's talking about the 153 fish, whether he's talking about his fishing boat. But he asks the question, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he says, he said to him a second time, Jesus asked Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. At this point, I'm guessing Peter's kind of looking around like, we're on a beach, man. There's no sheep. So Jesus says to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, Lord, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you that when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you wherever you do not want to go. This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Jesus, this last encounter we had was Peter saying, hey man, I'm never going to deny you. I would never do that. Three times he denies him. Jesus comes back, makes everybody breakfast, and brings back the community. Making breakfast for people is a loving thing, isn't it? It says a lot about who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. They have this breakfast together. He has this conversation with Peter for the first time since the evening when he was taken. Three times Peter denied him. Three times Jesus asks him this question, do you love me? I know it's kind of confusing in English is we have a word called love. And in Scripture, when you translate the language, they had these words for love and that are a little bit different from one another. You have agape love. You have phileo love. Agape is this true love. Do you truly love me? And phileo is this word that's just, I love you. Now, they use both of these words of love that we see that God has for his son Jesus. So I'm not saying there's a downplay of these words, and I'm not saying that there's a big issue here with these words, but for whatever reason, Jesus asks, do you agape me? Do you truly love me? And Peter responds with what appears to be this lower form of love. Yeah, I love you. Jesus asks him again, do you agape me? And Peter says, yeah, I phileo you. So then the third time, Jesus says, do you phileo me? And then you see Peter break down because at this point he's wounded, he's hurt. And then you see Peter make this admission, God, I know you know everything. You see this humility just pour out of Peter at the moment. You see this true love. You see Peter understand the heart of Jesus. Do you truly love me? And that's what we have to wrestle with this morning. Do you truly love Jesus? The whole point of John, the one whom Jesus loves, writing this gospel, is that you might know who Jesus is, that you might believe in Jesus, that you might truly love Jesus by what he's come to teach us, by what he's come to show us, by what he's come to say of us and our place in the kingdom, by what he's shown on how to live here. That's what John wrote John 4. I don't think he called it John at the time. John. That's it. Do you truly love Jesus? And if you do, if you are professing that, then your life looks like feeding lambs, tending sheep, making sure people around you are well taken care of, making sure you care for those around you. Craig, man, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit talking all political and whatnot. But all these injustices around us as people, all these injustices around us here in Laramie, all these injustices around us in our employment, in our families, in our homes, in our circles. If we truly love Jesus, we will impact those worlds. If we truly love Jesus, we will love those people. If we truly love Jesus, we won't partake in gossip at work. But we might go to the person that everybody hates, that everybody's talking about, and say, "How can I help you? Can I take you to lunch? Would you like a coffee?" If you truly love Jesus, then you have cares for your next door neighbors and the people across the street from you. Even if they don't care for you, you have an obligation to them. If you truly love Jesus, your world is going to look different. What I've become a pro at is hiding in the shadows and hoping someone else does it. God, I love you, but I'm not willing to let you run my schedule. God, I love you, but I'm not willing to be known. God, I love you, and I hear the plan that you have for me, but I'm going to run from it. I love you. And Jesus is asking more than that. Do you truly love me? And in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, actually in just Matthew and Mark, you see this moment with Jesus, and he gives this charge. He says, go into all the world. Tell them about me. Love them how I've loved you. Baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because what I've given you is going to be contagious. What I've given you is going to change the world. What I'm giving you is true love that God gave me. So go and do that. Go change the world. If you truly love me, this is your charge. Go and change the world. Sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? So the question alongside of, do you truly love Jesus, is, does your life reflect that love? Is your life changed by who Jesus is and by how Jesus loved? Or have you remained the same for years? Did you think you could sign on to this Jesus thing and not have to pay anything? I'm not talking about money. Not have to give up anything in your life. And if you're good like me, you hide in the shadows. And you'll start giving pieces away of yourself. God, you can have this. It's funny, when my kids were young, They've got an allowance from the time they were born. Just sucking money out of me all the time. They've got an allowance from the time they were born, and it's always funny because it's worked its way up as they got older. It's one thing if I go and buy a birthday gift for mom and say, from the boys. It's another thing if they use their own money for it, right, mothers? Or do you care? You don't care? Be honest. You care. Okay. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you. So, early on, you know, my boys are two totally different creatures, and one boy, he would just empty his entire piggy bank out and just give it to you. I don't think he understands how money works. It can run out. But my oldest boy, he's a little more thoughtful, he's a little more, I think there's a little bit of a stinginess behind him too. And he's like, well, how about I just give her this? It's like a McDonald's toy that's been in the bottom of his toy box. And this is when they were young. Well, mom would love this. Can I just give her this? I was like, come on, dude. I'm talking like $5 here. Like, can you give your mom $5? Well, no, how about this? Your mom is going to feel really honored. Well, there you are. I talk about you all the time. Do you hate me for this? No? Okay, all right. And so that's the same way we do with Jesus. That's the same way we do here. You can have that. But my anger, that's mine. You can have a little bit of my money, but my pride I'm keeping. And we almost play these games with God, like, you know, if I just give you this a little bit, you'll just leave me alone. And God continues to ask that question, do you truly love me? In my life, in the last 8 years, that question is continually asked of me. I was talking to a good buddy of mine during lunch this last week, and he was talking about how he desires to hear God's voice more, and I told him I desire to hear it less. And that's not a testament to, oh, I hear God all the time. That's a testament to, I am so jacked up. Caleb, your crying is contagious. There it is. I am so jacked up inward, I am so hiding in the shadows inwardly that God continues to have to talk to me and ask me that question, do you truly love me? Yes, I love you. Then give it up, just drop it. Love me then. Quit holding back. And that's been the last 8 years for me here. God, I'm tired of hearing your voice. Because that usually means there's so much of me left that needs dealt with. And I know I'm the only one here that deals with this. I know I'm the only one here that only goes through this, and it's just me. God's just picking on me. Poor big Adam, not little. But he's asking that question of you. He continues to ask that question of you. Do you truly love me? Yes, I love you. Then why are you here constantly? Why are you in this state of, you name it? Why are you so bittered towards people? Why are you so filled with hate instead of love? Why do you only spend your resources on yourself instead of people that need it? Why do you not live in community with other people? Why is it that your faith is so personal that no one else knows about me? No one else experiences my love through you. If you truly love me, live like it. And that's the end of John. That's it. The next couple weeks, by couple, I mean for the next 4 years, We are starting a teaching series, and it's called Own Your Stuff. It's these shadowy places. It's these places where we'd rather just throw God a McDonald's toy instead of giving him a real gift of actually looking like him and becoming like him. It's the things that all of a sudden we just don't know how we got here in life, and I just wish I had more of Jesus, but I'm unwilling to do anything about it. It's those things that we're going to start dragging out. It's those things that we're going to start really hammering on, because if you love Jesus, you can no longer hide with those things anymore. If you love Jesus, you can no longer operate in a very unhealthy manner anymore. And we're going to start pulling these deep-rooted stuff. And you have God to thank for that. I don't want to do it, but I've been jacked around so much this last year, in the last even 4 months, that God just continues to pull up these deep roots, and I'm seeing everything from my past up until this moment of, God, I am so wrong. And God, I have wronged so many other people in me being wrong. And I start to see how all this plays out, how everything that I have done matters. Everything that I have not done matters. And so that's what we together as a community of believers, as a community of people even just checking Jesus out, we're going to go through. And I don't know what it's going to look like. How uncomfortable would it be for you? I haven't even talked to my leadership about this yet. You're welcome. I heard groaning from here. I don't know. But I believe that this next season for us is going to be so powerful. I believe that freedom is going to be there. But I also know it's going to come at a cost. It's going to come at being super edgy. It's going to become super uncomfortable as we start leaning into God and saying, God, I truly love you. Please take this that does not look like you. Please take it and replace it with you. I'm braced for war. I'm terrified of it, to be honest. And I asked Craig, I was reading a book by A.W. Tozer, and it just hit me. You guys need a war in prayer together. You guys need to pray together corporately. You guys need to pray together individually. And I don't think it's just going to be a five-minute thing. So would it freak you out if we actually spent the next two services praying? Good. How about 3 weeks of praying? I proposed three, and Craig said, whoa, man, two I could see. Three. I always throw him under the bus. He doesn't really talk like that. He's actually got a deeper voice. Whoa, man. But I want to be prayed up as we go into this. I want to be prayed up as a community as we go into this. I want to be prayed up as we start giving away the big stuff in our lives that does not reflect Jesus. And I honestly, I don't even want to teach. Those weeks, I don't even know about worship those weeks. This is something we'll all talk about, leaders, as you're here. You're just white-knuckling. No, I'm just kidding. But I think we just need prayer as a group, together. Are you willing to engage in something like that? Okay. Then we may or may not do it. But that's it. Do you truly love Jesus? And if so, together we're going to make the roads to make that happen. And what's scary about that kind of stuff is it's community. It's community that is going to need community in this. It's community that's going to be like, hey, you know what? Adam, you're teaching two Johns that are the same person and it's not the case. Oh, man, my pride hurts. And then my anger hits. And then my anger gets called out because that's not how I am with people. That's the kind of stuff that this happens. And I had to just shut my mouth and pause and say, you know what, I got a lot of work to do. I've got a lot to be obedient to. And I'm excited about this as we grow together as a community. If you don't want that, then just leave. If that's not your bag here at Whitewater, then leave. How many pastors say that? But that's what we're going into. Do you truly love Jesus? God, we love you. God, we truly love you. God, and those that are just saying, I love you, God, I pray that they change that to, I truly love you and I want what you have for me. God, as we go into the next few weeks, as we brace ourselves through prayer, through hearing from you, through hearing what you need to say to us, God, as we ask you to uncover the hidden, shadowy areas of our lives, God, I pray for those that are willing to stand and just stand in what you have for them. Stand in what you have for me. God, as uncomfortable as it may be, but God, may we meet you with obedience. May we hear what you have to say to us. God, may we hear what you have to say to us through other people around us who know us so well. God, we truly love you, and it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.